We continue to read from John chapter 5, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Continuous reading from this section of John's Gospel. Remember, yesterday Jesus cured the man who had been sick for 38 years, and the reaction, sadly, was not that this man is a great healer, but this man is a lawbreaker. He violated the Sabbath. So this is the first time in John's Gospel when this accusation comes up. We know it from other Gospel passages because Jesus often cured people on the Sabbath. In fact, he deliberately did that. That was part of his way of revealing the Father, of revealing the love of God, the work of God, was to heal on the Sabbath. So he did it deliberately. And when there was opposition in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, he typically drops a one-liner like, well, if your son fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you take him out? He doesn't give long explanations. He just tells them it's so obvious that it's a good thing to do. Or he'll say, is it good to do good on the Sabbath or evil? And he leaves the question on them. But in John's Gospel, Jesus gives more of what's beneath the surface. So whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they might quickly move on to another event, another healing or a parable or something. In John's Gospel, Jesus gives this more lengthy and deeper explanation. You could say the theology behind his curing people on the Sabbath. And that's what he does today. They accuse him of breaking the Sabbath, and what is Jesus' response? My Father is at work until now, so I am at work. So Jesus starts to reveal the nature of his work, which is inseparable from the work of the Father. Jesus only does what the Father sends him to do, which is what the Father himself does. And this is the heart of this particular passage. Now, this is not the first time Jesus spoke about his work. Remember, in John chapter 4, I think it's at the end of that passage about the Samaritan woman. He says, I have food that you don't know about. My food is to do the work of the Father. So he's trying to reveal more deeply not only who he is, but the whole nature of his mission. Why does he heal? Why does he heal on the Sabbath? Because he is the Son of the Father, and this is what the Father does. Now, the Jews had lots of rules about Sabbath observance, and one of them, of course, was not to do work, because that was rightly to respect the Sabbath, because God rested on the Sabbath. On the seventh day, God rested. But they knew that talking about God resting did not mean that God wasn't doing anything. Of course, God is constantly at work. He's taking care of his creation, especially his people. So children are born on the Sabbath. People eat on the Sabbath. People die on the Sabbath. A lot of the normal things that happen every day happen on the Sabbath, and God is the one who makes all that possible. So the Jews, who had strict rules about not working, also understood that some work has to be done. Someone has to cook. Someone has to take care of the baby. Someone has to bury the dead or whatever they have to do. So there's things that are just part of Sabbath life. And the priests who worked in the temple, they worked on the Sabbath, and they didn't violate any divine laws. So this idea of work was not completely foreign to them. And for Jesus, who was raised by Joseph, the worker, he understood work in its deepest sense. Work doesn't simply mean being a carpenter or a craftsman. Work means doing the will of God. That's the work of every person, and that's our work every day, including on the Lord's Day. We are to do the will of God every day. Sometimes the will of God is that we rest. That's our work when we're supposed to rest. That's the work to do. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort to rest. So this is the deeper understanding of work. So Jesus says, my Father's at work and I'm at work. Just as the Father sustains and gives life and heals, the Father makes the sun shine on his people. He sends rain on his people, including on the Sabbath. Well, that's what I'm doing. How could I not continue to do the work of the Father, the work that the Father sent me to do? Beautiful. But not in the eyes or in the ears of those who heard him say this. When they heard him say that he's at work like the Father, they were all the more determined to kill him because he was speaking of himself as equal to God. So Jesus goes on to explain what it means to be equal to God, which is exactly who he is, but also helps us understand who we are. We're not equal to God, but we are children of God. So to know God is also to know ourselves. To know ourselves is to know ourselves in relation to God. This is what he does here as he speaks about his relationship with the Father. He doesn't do anything but what the Father tells him to do. The Father has entrusted to him the work of giving life. Because the Father has life, the Son has life because the Father gave him life, and the Father has given the Son this task, this work of giving life. And that's what he's always doing, giving life. He's aware that even though he's doing this task, not everyone will receive life. Because to receive life means we have to put our faith in him. Jesus puts it very clearly. Those who believe? Yeah. Whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation but has passed from death to life. So hearing the word and putting our faith in him is the way to eternal life. But those who do not accept him do not accept the Father, and so they do not accept the gift of life. Now, reflecting on this brings to mind more about God's revelation of himself as Father. This was so beautifully portrayed in Sunday's parable, the parable of the prodigal son. That Father in the parable is one of the most extraordinary revelations of God the Father. Revelation of his love, of his mercy, of his relationship with his children. And this is something good to reflect on, especially those of you who are parents. You know what it's like to love your children. You don't stop loving your children on the Sabbath. In fact, I've heard parents say that sometimes it's harder on the weekend because everybody's home. Well, this is before the pandemic, when people used to go out to work or out to school, but on Sunday, everybody's home. And so there's more work, especially for the mother, if she's the homemaker, it's actually harder. But it doesn't mean now it's Sunday and I'm not going to love my children. Nobody says that. And neither does God. He doesn't stop loving. He doesn't stop caring for us. So reflecting on the way parents love their children, including yourselves, how you love your own children, or how you've experienced love from your own parents, is a good introduction to how God loves us and cares for us. If a child gets sick on our day off, well, we take care of him. If it happens to be Sunday morning and everybody else is relaxing, we don't relax because we take care of the one who's sick. When the children are hungry, we have to provide food every day. When they're in any need, we have to provide for them. That's God. That's God. In fact, God is better at this than any parent. He's a better father than any father, and he's also a better mother than any mother. That comes out in today's first reading, this beautiful passage at the end of the reading. The reading is all about God's goodness to his people, God fulfilling his promise to restore his people and bring them into a land of refreshment and abundance. He's comforting his people. He's showing mercy to his afflicted. And right after all this revelation of God's goodness, Zion says, well, the Lord has forsaken me. Isn't this typical of us? No matter how much God does for us, and he's constantly giving us life, we wouldn't even be here if he wasn't. But no matter how much God does for us, at some point, we will say, God didn't do enough. God hasn't taken care of this particular need. It's the attitude of the older brother in Sunday's gospel. The older brother is living in the Father's house. He's united with the Father in the Father's work. And he's living in a complaint, a long-lasting, resentful complaint that the Father hasn't done enough for him. It's something like that. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. It's absurd. It's absurd. That is exactly how we react, especially when we're suffering. When things go wrong, one of the first things that pops into our heads is, God didn't do the right thing. God didn't take care of me. He's abandoned me. It's always wrong, but it's always an error, I should say. It's not wrong to feel that way, because that just comes naturally. But it's wrong to conclude that that feeling means God has forsaken us. It's just that experience of the contradiction of living in a fallen world, in a fallen nature, with fallen people. But because people do abandon us, sometimes we abandon ourselves. But God never abandons us. He never forsakes us. And this is where the beautiful rebuttal of that complaint comes in. Zion, or the people of Israel, or any of us, says, God has forsaken me. And then the Lord says, can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? And we would say, well, no, I don't think so. I can't think of any mothers who forget their infants. Or maybe for a moment, I don't know, if the phone rings or something, and there's something burning on the stove, or they, for a moment, they take care of the thing at hand, but they don't really forget the infant. Can it be a mother is without tenderness for her own baby? Well, I don't think so, but I mean, you could imagine it happening, and sometimes you hear about, you know, women abandoning their children. But God says, even if you can find a mother like that, even should she forget, I will never forget you. It's a good thing to write down God's word to us. I will never forget you. I will never forget you. So whether you're sick or dying or losing loved ones or running out of money or experiencing division or war or pandemic or whatever things make us feel like we're forgotten or lonely or forsaken, the truth is God will never forget us. He will never forget us. And that's why Jesus' words about doing the work are so consoling. We might not understand what God is doing. We might not understand what Jesus is even talking about. But the truth is, he's always doing the work of giving us life. He's always doing the work of giving us eternal life. He never forgets us. This is as solid as a rock. Is it more precious than gold, to know that God never forgets us.